This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Right, I want to pivot into the future and looking at, I want to look at Vineyard House and this prospect of being able to sow a harvest. So for a harvest. Two years ago, around about this time of year, we had our last Steps campaign, Steps 2017, and our theme then was from Isaiah 61, and it said this. Isaiah 61. It says, they will build, I'll read it to you while it's, the computer is catching up. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. 2 years ago, that was our theme, because we'd found this building that was, well, it may not be a ruin, but it needs a lot of repair. And the church gave sacrificially, generously, staggeringly, £300,000, and that enabled us to buy the house. And many of you have been around the building, you've seen it, you've been to the open days, you've done some work on the house, thank you for doing that. It may not be a ruin, but it's in need of rebuilding, and now we own it, and now we've got to get on with it and do it. If you haven't had a chance to look around, on your new sheets or on the website somewhere, there's information about open days that we're going to be having in the coming months. Please jump onto one of those and go and have a look around, or get your house group to go and spend an evening there rather than wherever you normally meet. So you gave £300,000. Just one comment on that. One of our rules is that when we make a gift like that, as you saw from the previous year's accounts on our regular giving, so this is not to do with our regular giving, but on both sorts of giving, we give 10% of what we receive away. Okay, it's a principle. Whenever you receive, give away. It's just it's a biblical principle. It's a good discipleship principle. It's a wonderful way to live your life, and we do it as a church. So 300,000 plus came in from 2 years ago, so we're going to give away 30,000. Good stuff. Well done. And 30,000, and we've done that in various ways. One is that we've given £5,000 to Ivan and Libby, who are our missionaries. Libby grew up in this church. She's doing an outstanding work over in Mexico, where she married Ivan, and she's been there, I think, 10 years now, and works with the poor and preaching the gospel and building homes for the people who live in the slums there. As you know, I went out to visit them in February. It's an awesome work. But if you've driven the roads of Mexico, you know, then you need it's a problem. And so we gave them $5,000 to buy a car that could cope with Mexican roads. And I've been there, I've experienced it, and I can say that's good value. Good spending on the money. We also gave £5,000 to Ruth, who is working in Southeast Asia, has no transport, and it's a matter of safety as well as other things, so we've given her £5,000 to buy a car too. And then last year we gave £10,000 to Home Leone. This is something that historically we've had a lot to do with. It's a friend of ours who's run a charity in Sierra Leone, where they have bought a plot of land near Freetown, and they've built literally a new town, a village, with heat, with utilities and lighting and heating. Not so much heating, they don't need that, but water, proper built houses around a community center with a church in the middle. It's an amazing project, we were really glad to be able to give them £10,000. And then right now we're in the process of giving £10,000 to our local councillors here in Headingley. They have a small fund that they run, which enables them to look after local on-the-ground projects to change people's lives. And we're going to give them £10,000 that they can spend however they want in Headingley and Hyde Park. You'll hear a bit more about that later. Okay? That's good. I love that bit. I love that bit. I love the other bit, and I love that bit. I love it all. So, Steps 2019, sowing for a harvest. Am I talking too quickly? Oh, thank you. Sowing for a harvest. My wonderful helpers are about to come and give you a booklet, a leaflet, which looks like this, designed by the amazing Hannah Green. Woo, woo, woo. Pardon? Yeah, that's the appropriate response. Whenever I say Hannah Green. There you go. This is just a short introduction into 2019, Steps 2019. There's a ton of information on the website. So if you want to know more, do it. Take one for yourself, take one for your spouse, take one for your children, take one for your neighbor, anybody you think might be interested in it. So God has given us something spectacular, I think, something really influential to do in Vineyard House. And I think it's a kingdom endeavor which will transform this community in Headingley and will overflow into Leeds and beyond. When we get to the end, when I finish talking, we're going to spend some time in prayer, rapid fire prayer. I'll explain what that means. It gives everybody a chance to pray quickly. And I'm going to invite you to pray for what's on your heart for what I'm about to talk about. But as you know, those of you who've had a look around the building, we need to renovate the property. There's stuff going on there already. We've got prayer meetings going on there. We've got offices moving in there. We're doing certain meetings there, but it's very basic, and we need to renovate the property. And our vision for the building is that it is a beautiful and sensitive restoration which provides state-of-the-art resources with which the church can reach out into the community and see lives changed. Not just a warehouse in a business park, but something beautiful and iconic in its own right. And then we can put it to good, full use. It'll take us a couple of years to do this, and so as we go along, we're going to have to keep reminding ourselves of why we're doing this and keep casting a vision for it. So I want to talk a bit about what a harvest for which you're sowing, what that might look like. It's hard to imagine, it's hard to picture it when all you've got is a big, dark building. And so I want to just talk around that a little while. I want to interview some friends who'll give you a bit of an insight into what we can expect. How can we make a difference? How are we going to be involved in God's work at all? How can we be involved in the future? You'll see on here, we've described in the inside right-hand side the rooms. I don't mean rooms as in just four walls. I mean room as in room. Room to do stuff. Okay? And we're giving the rooms names. There's the welcome room, which is the entrance way, which is going to be both an area which is safe and safeguards the building, but also one which welcomes people in. And then you'll be able to come into the living room, which is, you know, when you invite someone to your house and you say, oh, do come in and have a sit down in the comfy chair and give them a cup of tea and you say, you're welcome. It's that feeling, come in, welcome. It's a big space, the living room. It's at least as big as this space in an L shape, and we can break it up into different parts and we can do different things with it. It's going to be the base for our children's ministry, probably. So everything that goes on there this morning will go on over there, or most of it will go over there. It'll be wonderful for them. It'll probably be the base for the Child Contact Center, which we'll hear about in a minute. It'll be a place where the elderly can meet, where the students can meet. It'll be somewhere where you can go and then you can meet someone for counseling or for debt advice, or it could be we could distribute food from there. We could do all sorts of things in that space. We'll eat meals together. We'll party there. It'll be the living room. Beside that, in the center of the building, is what we're calling the workspace, and that's a suite of rooms which will be there for local charities, local businesses to rent, and it'll provide an income stream for the business, for the building. Upstairs is a great, big, beautiful room. If you look on the back, you can get an idea of what it's like. It's a big hall, again, roughly the size of this space in here, with a sprung floor, lovely windows, a great space, beautiful roof space, and it'll be somewhere where our young people will be based. So a place to play games, you know, badminton, table tennis, whatever, music, art, gathering space for them on Sundays in particular, but also all the way during the week. A place for us to gather in young people and youth from around Headingley, because there's nothing for them in Headingley at all. It'll also be a venue for the local community to use for events and things as well, you know, music and all sorts of stuff. Probably my favorite bit is what we call in the sanctuary. And up at the back of the building, there's a suite of rooms. Calling them a suite of rooms is probably over-advertising, certainly at the moment. But eventually, it'll be a lovely suite of rooms which will incorporate showers, laundry, somewhere to make hot drinks. And it'll be there for the people in our community who are serving the guys on the street, the people who are living on the street. So somewhere they can go when it's raining and horrible. They can retreat back to this sanctuary. They can launder their clothes. Maybe we'll have a hairdresser working there. They can have a shower, have a hot drink, have a chat. It's going to be that type of space. I'm really excited about that bit. And then if we have enough money, we're going to build a classroom, what we're going to call the loft room, up in the roof void, a mezzanine, which will be a place for a classroom. So it could be for refugees learning to speak English or for children being excluded from school. So you can see, as I describe those rooms, I think you can begin to see some of the harvest that can come, yeah? Does it begin to make sense? What we might be able to see. We heard from Callum earlier on, up here interviewing, how old is he? 1,000? 12. Who's learning to hear from God and pray for people and lead people, actually. He's a leader. Now, that's what we can, was happening amongst our young people now with our current facilities. Can you imagine when we've got space to train and equip and draw them in, what could be, how many stories we could have from Callum and his friends and people we don't know yet. Harold, come and talk to us, would you? And Elaine, are you here? Is Elaine? Great. Just get ready. Get ready. This is Harold. Where's my microphone? Come up here. Harold is my favorite hipster friend. And it's switched on. It is. Harold's been coming for two, three years. He's a Leeds born and bred lad, and he used to drive ambulances. So if in years gone by you were on your way to the LGI Jimmy's, he may have been the one driving you.
You're lucky to be here.
So, Harold, you've been a Christian all your life, but you went through a bad patch when your wife was ill and then she died. And then what happened after that?
Well, after that, I just sort of carried on with my life. Excuse me. I got married again about 6 years later to someone that I'd known all my life. And then 10 years ago, she died. I was carrying on and I was quite happy. I thought I was having a good life. And two ladies, Beryl and Lynn, knocked on my door, and I wasn't too well at the time, so I sort of brushed them off, tried to get rid of them. And then it worked, they went. So I took about 2 steps from the door, and I heard a voice say to me, "You were rude to those two ladies. Go back and apologise." So I called them back, and I did. And they told me all about this place, and I decided that when I were well enough, which were about a fortnight later, I'd just turn up on my own. And okay. I did.
And you've been pretty much every week for 2.5 years.
Missed about 3 times, I think. That. Yeah. I love this place. I feel that I'm happy when I walk through the doors. I always leave feeling better than what I did when I came in, which is the idea of coming. Mm. And it's a family now. It's my family.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. And how would you describe what's God done for you in, as you've sort of reconnected with him through this family?
He's made me... I don't have aggressive thoughts anymore. I've never been an aggressive person. I'm not big enough, really. I'm a Berlin. I feel now that I'm happy. I feel that I've got a long life to live. I'm 84. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm happy among the people that I see in front of me now. I can come in here and I could sit with no one around me, and I'd feel great. Okay. It's a lovely place.
And you've learnt to pray for people, and
I've learnt. Yeah. I'm not. I'm a bit shy that way.
Yeah, but I've seen you.
Well, I have come out and I've prayed for people, and I feel for people.
Yeah, wonderful.
I feel it. It's
great. Well, we love having you, Harold. Thanks for sharing your story.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers. So just imagine the living room, a safe, warm, welcoming place. How many more people around Headingley or on their own can begin to find family? I've told you before that when I met with the local MP, Alex Sobel, and one of the councillors, Neil, I asked them, Kath and I met with them, and I said to them, what can we do to help you the most? What's the need? And they immediately said, both of them at the same time, loneliness. So you can see some of the harvest there, can't you? Elaine here, amazing Elaine, one of our staff, manages our child contact centre. Just in case you don't know what a child contact centre is, it provides a safe place, a supervised place where children who are separated from their family, usually the father, are able to be put back in a room with their dad for a period, for a couple of hours, sometimes under sufferance of a court order, sometimes out of desperation. And I just wanted Elaine to share with you, I mean, they do an amazing thing. If you want to volunteer in a place that makes immediate difference, come and talk to Elaine. Saturdays, every fortnight. Elaine once got a story about a couple that the marriage fell apart, and they weren't allowed to see each other, and he went off to Birmingham. Just tell us a bit about them.
Yeah. We had a young couple referred to us through the solicitors, and both obviously came for the pre-visit separately. Mum was very assertive and knew exactly what she wanted, so that was fine, and she was accepted. Then Dad came with his brother. He'd relocated from Leeds to Birmingham, and his English was really poor, so his brother came with him to translate. And this dad, probably about, I don't know, 28, 32, came in very depressed, cowed, yeah, cowering, and very quite fearful, really, of what was, he didn't know what to expect, really. So 20-minute interview, they both were accepted for contact. They came for the first contact, and Dad he had no expression, but when his two little boys came in, he was absolutely joyful. His face was just wreathed in smiles. It was just the most terrific thing to see him just completely transformed. So this couple had two sessions with us. It was going really well. They're supposed to have six sessions. We had our AGM. We prayed for a few of the families at the AGM. And then later that week, or 2 days later, got a call from the mum to say they were back together. Mm-hmm. And they'd got a good extended family around them that were able to sort of like, you know, sort of be positive and affirming about the whole thing. She put him on the phone, and he said, yeah, I'm back together, I'm with my boys and all the rest of it. And it was just absolutely superb. So that was
it. Isn't that wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So... So can you imagine a harvest where that's relocated into the state-of-the-art facilities that we'll have over in Vineyard House, and where people with dads with anger problems or mums with drug addiction problems, and we can provide services that support them? Can you imagine the stories? Is there anybody here working on the Child Contact Centre volunteers? Are there?
Michelle's been a leader.
Yeah.
For ages.
Is Anthony, Jamie. Amy. Can you stand up a moment? Those of you who've worked with Child Contact Centre. Stand up, Michelle. Come on. Just because you're in the balcony doesn't let you off. Okay, let's say thank you to these guys. Thank you. Okay, I've got a very special guest. Al, do come up here. This is Al Garthwaite, who is one of our local councillors. Do you want to come around here, this side? Al, there's the microphone. one of our local counsellors, and there's their Facebook page. She's the good-looking one in the middle. Neil and Jonathan are the other two, and we've been getting to know Al. Kath invited her along to one of the open days at Vineyard House, one of the come and sees, and we were talking there and subsequently about what you can see and what your casework is like and where you can see the connection. Do you want to tell us a bit about that and what your reflections are?
Certainly. Yes, I'm delighted to be asked to be here, just as I was delighted to be able to go a few weeks ago and look around that beautiful building, which is to be Vineyard House. I'd often wondered in my 3 years as councillor what it was like inside, and it was a revelation to me. It's much, much better than anything I'd imagined. And we do have a great need for more buildings of this sort in Headingley. Even though we have the Heart Centre, it's packed out, and there are other places also very full. And this is offering something completely different that we haven't got at the moment in the area and for which there is a real need. As you probably know, this week has been Mental Health Awareness Week. And there are three things in particular that have struck me during this week or people that I've met. First of all, I read in the Yorkshire Evening Post on Monday about a student who very sadly killed herself. And she suffered from loneliness. She did try to access support, but it just wasn't enough. And this is the sort of thing we really don't like to see happen. And of course, there are many, many students who live in this area, perhaps some of you here, and we really want to be sure that they all have a fantastic experience in Leeds and get the support and help that they need. Secondly, I went on a tour of in the evening with the people, the street support team and others who work with street users. Some are rough sleepers, some are people who come into the centre because that's where their friends are and that's where they feel at home, and they may be addicted to various things. Now, the street support team, it's 23 people strong, and it's very successful in getting to know people and trying to help them. But it's not as simple for most people as saying, oh, there's a bed for you in the crypt, did you know about it? Well, this is the way there. And then they stay there, they're offered a tenancy, off they go, and life is smooth and happy. It's not like that. Many people have serious mental health problems. They're lonely. They maybe go to a tenancy, but then they're still lonely, and they find that they go drift back to the street and all that it has to offer, which is often not very good at all. So there is a real need for people in that situation to have somewhere to go. And thirdly, just earlier this morning, I was talking to an Iranian asylum seeker. And she's been here for 2 years. It's been held up her citizenship. She hasn't got permission to work, and she suffers badly from depression. And even though there are places she can go to get advice, or she can go to the doctor and get pills, but she really needs more than that. She needs somewhere she can regularly go to get, just to be with other people and to feel as though she's part of this city rather than someone who's here on some sort of sufferance. So I think from what I've understood from the Vineyard, all these needs are likely to be met in this wonderful idea that you've got, that you've so successfully raised funds for. And more than that, it's not going to be a place of misery and sorrow. It's going to be a place where people can celebrate, where you can be joyful, where you can get together, engage in arts, sing, dance, just generally have a really good time and meet together. So I'm really delighted to be able to speak to you here today and to put our full support behind the Vineyard. Any help that we can give as councillors, very, very keen to give it. And lovely to meet you and be able to speak to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. It's great, isn't it? Thank you, Al. We really appreciate that. We appreciate your support. And that's another harvest you can see. So, some of you will gave generously last time, but you will want to give once more. Great. Some of you were unable to give to this last time, and you would love to do so now. Great. Some of you, many of you, weren't here 2 years ago. I won't ask you to put your hands up, because then I don't want you to be targeted. But I know lots of you have arrived in the last couple of years, and you want to get in on a chance on what we have to call the million-pound miracle, because that's what it's going to take, and then some. Just to point out that this is not part of the regular giving that I talked about at the beginning. This is a one-off, or it could be a pledge, a monthly pledge, but it's an additional giving. And the likelihood is that it will hurt. Okay, this sort of thing. If it's easy, if you could just write out a check and hand it over, and it doesn't, you don't feel it. My suspicion is that you probably need to go back to God and ask Him for what He wants, because He normally pushes us beyond that into something that hurts. It might mean foregoing that kitchen you were going to put in. It might mean selling that second car. It might mean using the savings you'd put aside for a holiday. It might mean a regular a gift, which means that you can't maintain the lifestyle you were doing before. Usually, when God puts this sort of challenge in front of us, He doesn't make it dead easy. He challenges us to change and to make a sacrifice. That's why it's so precious. It's not precious if it didn't cost anything. So what I want you to do is to ponder that and to think about what the Lord wants you to do. If you're married, I want you to spend time with your spouse and pray over it and decide what you want to do. Just to give you a picture of how this could happen. Okay, last time we went for 300,000 and we got well over that. This time we're going to halve that goal this time. If we get 300,000, fantastic. That'll enable us to do all sorts of things and to do things quicker. But if we're going to go for 150,000, this is what it could look like. Okay, this is what it could look like. It won't look like this exactly, obviously, but it could do. So, for example, if we're aiming for 150,000 at the bottom right-hand corner, and we have probably 300 or 400 people who could give, but let's say half of them give 210. Then it could be made up like this. One person might want to give £30,000. There may be five people who want to give £5,000. Maybe 10 people who can put together £1,000. Another 70 who will be able to give £100. And then I would love the children to be involved. I want you to give these to your children, and some of them might put in a fiver or a pound or a 50 pence. And then for others, you haven't got savings and you haven't got access to lump sums, but you would be able to give on a regular basis. Maybe over £100 over 12 months, or maybe £15 over 4 years. Whatever you feel that God compels in your heart. And if that sort of package came together, we'd end up with 150,000. Okay? So that's just to show you how it could work. Where do you think God will put you on that type of list? Which person do you think you could be as part of this? It's a way of lots of sacrificial gifts coming together to make one single vision-releasing, harvest-bringing gift. And we can all take part in it. So what I would like you to do is to take these away, include your children, those of you who've got children. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, pray about it, think about it, decide what God wants you to do. If it could be that God says, no, don't give to that. I don't want you to touch that with a barge pole. That's absolutely fine. Nobody will know. This is between you and Him. But see what He says. And then what I'd like you to do is to complete the form inside. I think it's self-explanatory. If it isn't, ask one of us and we'll be glad to help. There's an email address on there for Adrian, who doesn't come to this church. He goes to another church. He runs the books, so he knows everything. So ask him your questions about how to do it. And then come on the 9th of June, 3 weeks today. 9th of June is going to be a real special Sunday in the life of the Leeds Vineyard, because we'll bring all of these, every single one. I'd love, you know, if a six-year-old wants to put 50 pence in, I'd love them to write 50 pence and bring this. They don't have to put the name on it, but you can if you want. And we'll have a big basket at the front, and we'll all just throw these into the basket. And then we're going to find out how much, what God's done in our lives. We're going to celebrate, we're going to party, we're going to say thank you, Lord, for what He's done. The only people who will know how much people have given, if you don't do it anonymously, if you want to make a gift aid claim, for example, the only people who know will be Adrian and the finance team, two or three people. I won't know, Alison won't know, it'll be completely anonymous. And what we will do with that money, let's say it's 150,000, what we'll do with that is we will be able to go to funders and philanthropists who we're beginning to build up a case. Kathy's working on building up a case to submit to them for donations and giving and support for what we're doing. And it's a very, there's lots of connection between what we're doing and the building and the things we can do there and people who want to give to it. But we can go to them and say, look, we bought the building and we've put 150,000 in the bank. So we are committed to this. We primed the pump. This is something that we've got ready. We're in for this. And when you go with that message, it's a very strong tale to tell to the people who want to give. They'll say, ah, these people are serious. They've organized this. They know what they're doing. They made this commitment themselves. We'll back it. And that will enable us to go and raise the money with outside sources as well. And as we raise the funds, as it releases money, we'll start the building work, okay? And we'll revisit how we're doing on a regular basis. And we're just looking forward to seeing how God's going to provide. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be an exciting couple of years. Let me go back to 2 Corinthians 9. We read it earlier on. I want to read a couple of other verses from 2 Corinthians 9. Do you remember Paul writing to the Corinthians about their gift to the Jerusalem church, which is in famine? I'm going to read a couple of, just a few verses from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. Some of you will hear echoes of the prosperity gospel. Do you know what I mean? You know, if you give, then God will bless you. That type of, if you want to be rich, give some money away. I think that's wrong. I don't believe that. And I don't think this is what Paul is saying here. So if you hear those resonance, that's not what we're saying. And I don't think that's what this says. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Okay? Not under compulsion, not reluctantly, but what you've decided in your heart to give. It implies time and thinking about this in prayer. For God loves a cheerful giver. If you're not under compulsion and you're not doing it reluctantly, you can be cheerful. And God loves that. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, that word service again, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Other people will be saying thank you to God because of you. And it'll result in praise and thanks from everybody. And he finishes with this gospel. Thank you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus. Our faith in Jesus is a story of incredible generosity from God to us, his gift of salvation to us, his gift of abundant life to us, his gift of eternal life. And so we can in turn be generous both in sharing that good news and in caring for the poor. I think when God looks at Headingley, at Hyde Park, at all the other parts of Leeds and beyond, his heart breaks at what he sees around us and in us. And he gives us redemption and salvation by his Son. He gives us reasons to be thankful. He gives us a share of that broken heart. He gives us the opportunity to join in with him in his kingdom endeavor. He gives us an opportunity to sow in and then reap the harvest. Last week I talked about how we give from a thankful heart and a breaking heart. We're saying, thank you, God, for all that you've given us. Thank you for the money in our bank account. Thank you for the food we eat, for our families and friends, for the clothes on my back, for my salvation, my eternal life, for meaning and purpose in life. Thank you. And here is my acknowledgement. Here's my thank you back. I'm going to give to you in a moment of thankful intimacy. We have a thankful heart, and our money goes to our thankful heart. We also have a broken heart. And our hearts beat with God as he sees brokenness around, and his heart breaks, and we think, that's not right, that's not good, that lonely person there, that person suffering from mental health issues over there, that's not right, that's not good, that breaks my heart, and we give to our broken heart. And we look around and we see a church or a mission or something that is attending to that brokenness, and we say, right, that's where I'm going. And that's what I'm putting in front of you today. So do that. Pray. Think about this. Bring it on the morning of June the 9th, and we'll have a celebration, and we'll see what we're going to do. If you can't come on June the 9th, just go to the website or email Adrian and tell him what you want to do, or pop it in the post as the address is on the back, and we can include it if you can't make it on the 9th. Band, would you like to come up as I conclude? We're going to pray together. We have a big vision, and sometimes it feels like we're looking up a very big mountain. And we want to climb it, and we know the hike will be one which we will remember and celebrate in years to come. And we're looking forward to that view, that harvest that we're going to get from the top. It's going to stretch us. It's going to be difficult in some places, and there'll be times where we're going to think, we're not going to make this, but we will. We will. We have the walking boots, we have the crampons and oxygen, we have maps and guides and people who can show us the way and supplies to sustain us. We all want to make a difference, don't we? Yeah, we all want to make a difference. We want to see the broken mended. We all want to feel that we've been able to do our part in something life-changing and long-lasting. Here it is, brothers and sisters. This is it. This is God's gift to us. God is giving us the opportunity to work with him on this transformative mission. We have a mountain to ascend. We have a harvest to gather, and the Lord has given it to us to do for this time. It's our destiny to get to play our part in this, in God's kingdom endeavor. Let's pray. Why don't you stand? We're going to sing a song, and as we're just going to use the chorus. Yeah, I think most of you are familiar with it. We'll sing it through a couple of times. Whilst we're singing it and the band are getting going, please come forward, come and grab a mic, and come and pray. What we call rapid fire prayer. You're allowed 10 seconds max. And it starts with, God, I want to thank you for, Lord, I want to thank you out of my broken heart, and I want to pray for this. Okay, that type of thing. We're looking for what is God putting on your heart in this time. And we'll just sing this. We'll pray a few prayers, and then we'll sing the chorus, and we'll pray a few more prayers. Come and join in. So why don't you start queuing up as we sing this through for the first time.
So in relation to Vineyard House, I just had this passage from Isaiah 54. Which in the message says, clear lots of ground for your tents, make your tents large, spread out, think big, use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family.
Amen.
Father, I just thank you for all the new people that have come and joined us here over the last couple of years.
My broken heart, I pray for the lives that are going to be changed in Headingley over the stories that you're going to give us to tell.
Thank you, Father, that this project is utterly beyond our ability to fulfill. Keep us as a people depending on you and our testimony that those who come to know you will see you as utterly dependable.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the money we've given away for Libby in a van, for Ruth, for Home Leone, and for H&H, Lord, and that they would just reap the harvest of that gift over the next year, Lord, and that they would just do amazing things where they're at.
Unless the Lord builds a house, the build this build in vain. Lord, we pray that you would be with this church as it builds. Would you give it wisdom? Would you walk with it so that it's not something that's done by people, Lord, but that's something that you are building. Amen.
Father, I thank you for the council and the councillors who are committed to being a child-friendly city, the least, the lost, the lonely, mental health issues. We just thank you for their heart to get behind projects that want to serve these people. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the gifts and the skills and the gold that is in each person's heart who is here. And I pray you would show us how to use that to extend your kingdom.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for who you are. And I just ask, Lord, that you'll just meet people exactly where they are, those people that don't know you. Jesus, just bring them in. Just love them and just bring them in to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for the staff who, although really busy, don't mind you asking really stupid questions and are there to help you out if you have any problems.
I thank you, Father, that we can say thus far the Lord has helped us and he will continue to help us. And this time last year we didn't know how far the Lord would bring us. And the church is bursting out of its boundaries even more and more.
Father, I thank you for friends and I thank you for family. And so, Father, I pray for all the lost and the lonely here in Headsley. And I thank you, Father, that you do not reject your people. So would you mobilise us to love and be there for the lost. Amen.
Father, I pray for the arts in this building. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would produce songs of joy and dances of joy and performances that glorify a king who can bring miracles into our city.
Lord, I thank you that this isn't a human endeavour. It's just not just us doing this on our own, but that it's your idea. You are leading us. You're providing for us. You are with us. Your kingdom will come. And I just pray that in some ways you will make Leeds Vineyard invisible, in the sense of that at the end of it, whatever happens, people don't rise up and say how great a Leeds Vineyard, but they say how great you are. And that you would be the visible person in all this, that you would get the glory, that your name would be glorified and raised up in this place of Leeds.
And all the people said, thank you for coming to Leeds Vineyard today. Have a great week. Don't forget to come on 9th of June.